Welcome to the Our Work Matters podcast of the Florida Developmental Disabilities Council. If you are an individual with an intellectual or developmental disability, their family member or caregiver in Florida, this podcast is the place for you. The FDDC's purpose is to promote policies and best practices for the IDD community through education, advocacy, and partnerships. In this podcast, we'll be sharing ways you can get involved by highlighting our partner projects, legislative platforms, and advocacy opportunities. So come learn more and join our community.
Hi, I'm Chris Reed, your host, and today I am talking to Sarah Goldman, who is a member of the Florida Developmental Disabilities Council, the FDDC, and Margaret Hooper, who is the Director of Public Policy and Advocacy for the FDDC. And we are talking about the FDDC legislative platform for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, or IDD. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be involved with the council's legislative platform.
Thanks, Chris. I'm so excited to be here. Fun fact, I actually, when I was in graduate school, I have my undergrad and master's in social work. And when I came to Tallahassee for my master's at Florida State, I actually shadowed under Margaret for a legislative session, which is really how I kind of jumped in to the whole process and learned, you know, what the council's priorities were, how to be further involved in the legislative experience as a person with a disability. And so from there, applied to be a member, council member. In 2019, I was appointed by the governor, and since then have sat on the Public Policy Committee and now chair our public policy.
Awesome. That's really neat that you guys got to know each other and now you work together really closely on this. That's terrific. Margaret, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to do this work.
Well, I am also have a master's in social work, and I was hired as director of the public policy and advocacy work of the council in 2005. So I've been doing this for a while, and I support the Public Policy and Advocacy Committee of the Council. And then I take their priorities and approved issues up to the legislature and educate legislators.
So you've probably seen a lot of things that come and go over these years, I am sure. All right. Sarah, tell us a little bit about why it's important to talk to legislators about the needs of individuals with IDD.
So I actually started my career by working in the legislature for 4 years. I was a legislative aide for two different state representatives. And the amount of times that people with disabilities came to visit our offices was slim to none. And so really, it's just needing to be an advocate for our population because it is so underrepresented. And I think it's so important for representatives to understand the unique struggles that people with disabilities and their families and their caregivers face, because they don't know. And unless they have a family experience or a close connection to disability, it's not something that is on the priority of their minds, as they have so many different bills that come across their desk during session. So it's really important for us to have representation and also to make our voices heard to help them understand what some of the priorities are for people with disabilities and their caregivers.
And that is, I really love that personal experience, because I think those of us in the disability world, it's hard for us to imagine that there are people who have not had experiences with individuals with disabilities. So that is such an important component of that advocacy. So that is a really nice short reason of why. That's really great. Margaret, do the laws that are enacted by the legislature really affect the everyday lives of individuals with IDD? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
They play more of a part than I think people realize. For example, funding that goes towards disability issues and opportunities is very important. It can change people's lives. you know, opportunity for training, education, and being able to be employed is a dream of a lot of people with developmental disabilities that may not have been a chance without a special program. And funding the home and community-based waivers, which the one for developmental disabilities is the iBudget waiver here in Florida, being able to get off a waiting list, for example, can change someone's life by having the kind of personal supports they need.
Tara, can you give us an example of some of the impact that I really like Margaret's of being able to get off the waiver, which I know is a huge one in our state. But what are some other examples of how the impact the laws can have on individuals with IDD?
So there's two that really come to mind. The first is a couple of years ago, we were able to get an increase for direct support workers. And for those of us that use personal support or caregivers, being able to have competitive pay for them is so important because they, before this, could go to McDonald's and earn more money flipping a burger than they could just taking care of an individual with IDD. And so we were able to explain that to legislators and get them to give a cost increase, which was greatly beneficial for especially those that are on the waiver. Another one is the fact that before I found out that I was going to be working, Medicaid was going to cut off income for people that were working. Once you made a certain amount of money, especially the federal poverty limit, they would then cut your waiver services. And so through the council and some other advocates, we were actually able to get a working person with disabilities program created in Florida, which 46 states had already had one. Florida was not one. So we were able to use other state models to show that people want to work, and with our legislature and the governor to show that we could be taxpaying citizens and want to contribute to the workforce was a very big selling point for them. And so we were able to pass that after two legislative sessions. And so now anybody on the Medicaid waiver can earn up to 550% of the federal poverty limit, which I believe now is about close to $60,000, can have a 401k for retirement without it counting against you as an asset, and also have more money in their savings, up to $13,000.
That is a huge difference. I know as somebody with a sister who worked, that was always a balancing act. So that is really huge. So let's go ahead and get down to a little bit to the detail level. What exactly is a legislative platform? I will be the first to admit that I have not been the most political person in my life. So what does that mean when we say that?
Well, a legislative platform and legislative priorities for a group are sometimes used interchangeably. But for purposes of the council's platform, it's a place where we have an underlying value of including people with disabilities in the community. And then we have some distinctive ways within that platform that are priorities. So that's kind of how we've built it. And that's, you know, based on input from the general public, from council members, from other partner agencies that we are involved with. And we take a lot of those ideas into consideration as we form our platform.
So how do you decide? I would imagine there's so many different priorities. And you gather all that information. How do you decide what goes into the platform?
Well, it's looking, for one thing, at the political climate. So what has been done the year before? So, for example, last year, we had an unprecedented legislation and funding towards disability programs and changes in law that would benefit people with disabilities. So this year, I looked to see what could we highlight? Because some years, there's something so glaringly wrong, like paying fair for the care of direct support providers, that was it. That was our only platform item. But this year, I turned to our state plan and decided to highlight things that we're working on programmatically and with contracts to build data and programs for people with disabilities and highlight some of those values and issues and put that into the platform.
Can I also add to that, that our public policy committee really does give feedback on what Margaret has come up with, what staff has come up with. And most of the time we can all agree that those issues are ongoing and need continued advocacy. But we do have input from council members and the committee to finalize our priority, which is then voted on by the full council.
That's good. So what was the inspiration for this year's platform, Margaret?
Well, I was inspired by a video information program that we have on our website called Our Care Matters. And it just shows a variety of people sharing their stories of living with disability or having a loved one that lives with a disability. And I just thought it was a good way to start, especially with a lot of new legislators coming in and educating people on what disability issues are and how they affect their constituents, for example. So, and I also want to double back a little bit because Sarah was definitely reminding me that I get input from the Public Policy Committee. So what I do is I bring ideas to the committee. So these are some of the ideas I brought. And then committee members fill in the gaps and add ideas of their own to that as well. And they like the Our Care Matters because we're really proud of that program.
Yeah, that's a really amazing program. And make sure there's a link to all those videos in our show notes for this as well. So what's included in this year's platform? Have you developed the platform so far?
Yes, it was approved by the Public Policy Committee and the full council in September of this year. And it's in the process of being printed. But what we included were specifically the state plan issues broadly put into three categories. So one was access to services. That's a real, we've heard from the public on that. Council members have been concerned about being able to get an information from a central source on where services are for people with disabilities and making sure that they have up-to-date information. And finally, making sure that the services exist and there are actually people that are available to provide those services, which since the pandemic has been more of an issue. And then we have all things home and community-based services, including quality measures for home and community-based service systems, as well as case management systems. And then we have aging caregivers, making sure that aging services and developmental disability services are working together, because we have more and more aging caregivers here in Florida. And we also have people who are aging into their 60s and beyond who have developmental disabilities. So those services are oftentimes needed in combination. So we're working on improving that. And Sarah may want to highlight some of the other HCBS systems and issues that we have under that category.
The last legislative session was the legislature came up with what they call the managed care pilot program. And they took multiple counties and in an attempt to take people off of the APD waiver waiting list, which numerous thousands of people are on that waiting list, just so desperate for services, the legislature said, let's create a long-term care waiver and model with other waivers that they have and see how we can have success or see what can come about taking people off of the waiver. So they implemented a pilot. We actually do have a managed care task force through the council. And this week we've actually met and heard there's 100 people already that have registered to be a part of this pilot, and they will be able to get some services that are also provided on the waiver just through a third-party managed care organization. So as a council, we're monitoring that. We want to make sure that people with IDD are being served in the way that the waiver would provide for them. And we also want to ensure that people have consumer choice and control. Right now on the APD waiver, you can be a part of a program called Consumer Directed Care. And this is where individuals and families can hire family members, they can hire friends, they can hire third party individuals to take care of their loved ones without having to go through an agency. And so again, this just provides more flexibility and choice. And so we're advocating as a council this year to ensure that consumer directed care is not forgotten. If they move past a pilot and into a permanent managed care system, that we could keep consumer control at the forefront of legislators' priorities.
That's great. And hugely, hugely needed. So Sarah, what happens once it goes to the legislature? Once the platform's been decided, what are the next steps?
Every year, we actually host a Developmental Disability Day at the Capitol. And so this brings together council members, partners in policymaking, graduates. We have Florida SAN fellows that come up. And really, it's probably one of my favorite days of the year, getting to take Margaret and I and Valerie get to take groups around the Capitol and take them to different meetings with legislators that represent them or other areas of where they're from in the state. And we get to educate legislators on the platform. We get an opportunity for them to ask us questions and to really share personal stories. And I think that that's, we can give them facts and numbers all day, but what our council members can bring on Developmental Disability Day with our personal stories is something that adds the personalized touch that legislators often just can't ignore. And so that's really the highlight of how we go to them. Margaret's up there pretty much for the whole, 60 days, but that is really the opportunity where we can come as a whole coalition and really advocate for our platform.
Great, David. Anything you want to add to that? Goes into that?
Well, just that it's really nice for the council to be able to be in Tallahassee so that we can be up at the Capitol when needed and as often as needed, because a big part of this process is reminding lawmakers about that we're here and don't forget this issue, because they have so many issues that they're dealing with that you really have to keep it freshly in front of them.
Yeah, I would imagine that.
I'll also say too that they come to us as experts on these issues, Margaret. Other advocates on the council, there's legislators in our hometowns that come to us as the experts to give them input on these issues. And so I think that's a really unique presence that we have as council members and just as people with disabilities, is that we are representing our communities and being able to educate.
I think that would be really, really huge to be able to have that impact. That's terrific. So how can our listeners use the council's platform to advocate for themselves or for other individuals with IDD?
Well, the platform's going to be ready in plain text and Spanish, as well as its original version, in December. And they can download that and highlight a particular issue, for example, that's in there that means a lot to them, and they can talk about that. Or they can talk about the whole platform in general if they agree with everything that we've written. But it's nice that we can offer them something to give and leave behind to their legislator. And to educate themselves even further about the issue.
And I know that once we get those printed, we will have them on our website for people to download. So I'll make sure those get linked. They're being printed at the time that we're recording this. I think by the time we release this, they will actually be on the website. So I'll make sure those go in the links as well. Thank you both so much for coming to talk to us today. I learned a lot. As I said, I'm new to the whole legislative piece of developmental disabilities. I've worked in a lot of different areas, and I know that I learned a lot about where we can find resources and ways to advocate for individuals with IDD, and I'm sure our listeners did too. If you want to know more about the legislative platform of the council, just go to our website at fddc.org and sign up for our newsletter. And you can also check the link for advocacy for more information that's specific to this episode. And we'll make sure that all of those links are in our show notes as well. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you'll join us for our next episode.